For some of you here this morning, what I want to do is I want to take you on a trip down memory lane for just a moment. For others of you, I'm just going to have to ask you to use your imagination because maybe you haven't exactly had this experience. But I want you to recall or imagine a time when you and a close group, a family, maybe it was your immediate family, maybe it was just some people that you were really tight friends with, a time when you kind of just got away. Okay, you got away from the hustle and bustle of life. You got away from your normal routine and the mind-numbing things that you do on a day-in and day-out basis. You got away from the crush of your schedule. You got away and you just were able to kick back and relax and enjoy the moment and enjoy the time that you had with these people that you were particularly close with. Maybe the experience you had was a time when maybe you went camping and you got away, you got out in nature and it was just you and a bunch of people just sitting around a campfire talking about stuff that was going on in your life or what was happening in their lives and you just felt that close connection. Maybe for you it wasn't a camping trip. Maybe it was on a cruise you went, or maybe you got a cabin in the woods, or maybe you went on a vacation in the mountains or at the ocean or something like that. But there was a time when kind of time seemed to stand still because you were around people that you truly love, and you were just kind of doing life together, and everything else kind of got set aside. No distractions. No TV, no phone, no internet, just you and these people that you were like this with. I want you to imagine that with me for just a moment. But you know, especially if it involved a family, you know how things go. I mean, families grow up. The kids get older. They end up leaving and having families of their own, and there's a part of you that misses that time when you were like tight. But by the same token, you know it's a good thing. Because you want your children to grow. You want them to get out on their own. You want them to pursue their own dreams, to have their own families. It's natural. It's healthy. And even though it's different, it's a good difference. It's not the same, but it's good. You know, churches are kind of like that. Quite often what happens is churches begin really small, okay? Like Good News Gathering began with 19 people. And I can remember times back in the old days when we would be sitting around and there were times when we actually did sit at a campfire because we went on a retreat together. And it was like you were so close with that original core group of people and we knew each other and we shared stuff together and it was really cool. But you know, just kind of like families, healthy things grow. And it's natural for a healthy church to grow. And God intends it to grow. And as it grows, though, things happen. And one day you show up for a service and you realize, I don't know anybody. In fact, I don't know everybody anymore. And there may be a sense of, you know, there's something that kind of got lost somewhere along the way. And if you're not careful, you find yourself thinking, boy, I wish it was back when we were like, you know, 19 people. And it was small and I knew everybody and then we were like really tight. But there's also a part of you that knows, you know what? Wishing for the old days is not only useless, it's foolish. For a Christian, it's foolish. Because healthy things grow. I mean, think about it. It's natural for healthy things to grow and to reproduce. And God intended his church to grow and to reproduce and to bring more people into the family of God. Think about it this way. If you have a 35-year-old in your home that's still in diapers, there's a problem. That's an issue you might want to address. Same thing with the church. If it never grows, if it never reaches out, if it never adds more people into the family of God, that's an issue that somebody ought to address. But you know, it's when you wake up that morning and you find yourself talking to your wife saying, you know, I don't know a whole bunch of these people. You realize, you know what? It's different. But it's a good different. It's the way God intended it. And friends, just like healthy families grow and change, and your kids get married and they bring new people into the family, and the family gets larger, and then your family tree expands, it's the same thing with the church. And that's the way God wants it to be. And the thing we have to be careful about is looking back at the old days and thinking they were better, because they're not. Healthy things grow. The question we have to ask ourselves, though, is if it's healthy for a church to grow, how do we still maintain that sense of oneness, that sense of unity, that feeling that, you know what, we're all in this together? How do we do that? Because we know longing for the old days is useless and foolish, but that sense of tightness, that sense of family is something that we don't want to miss and we don't want to lose as we continue to add people to the family. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we maintain that sense of oneness, that sense of unity, that sense of family as we grow to whatever size it is God calls us to grow to? You know, right now we're averaging about 650 people on a typical Sunday morning. And I don't know where God is taking that, and neither do you. But I know this. He wants it to grow. The question is, how do we grow in a continuing healthy way where we still feel like a family? And you know what's exciting, friends, for me? What's exciting for me is that the very early church, the church that existed when Christ left the earth, faced the exact same question, and they addressed it. It's exciting. It's found in a book called the Book of Acts. Now, in order for us as a church family to do that, to continue to grow and expand and reach more people for Jesus Christ, and yet continue to be a close family unit, it's important for this church to remember what its goal is, and it's important for every person who calls G&G their church home to remember what your goal is. We have a goal. Now, our focus verse for this lesson series is Ephesians 2:19. It's up here on the screens. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. You are a member of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You see, the Christian walk was never intended to be done in isolation. That doesn't work. Christianity, if you want to think of it in sports terms, is the ultimate team sport. It's not a solo sport. We're a family, and we're in this together. Now, as I said, the early church faced the same issue that we face here today, and they addressed it. The question is, how? Now, in the book of Acts, it tells us in the very first chapter that Jesus went back to heaven. He ascended up into heaven, but his last words to the apostles were to take the good news about what I've done for people on the cross and how I died for their sins, take that good news to the entire world. See, he intended for them to grow and expand. And then chapter 1 tells us that right after Jesus left, the believers were all together, and there were about 120 of them, okay? Now, some of you that are used to being here might think, well, that's not that big a church, but it's about double the average church in Highland County. 120 people. Okay? But it didn't stay that way. The Bible indicates that 10 days after Jesus went back to heaven, the Apostle Paul and or Apostle Peter and the other apostles were preaching at this huge Jewish festival in Jerusalem, and 3,000 people accepted Christ in one day and were baptized on that day. Now think about it. They went from 120 10 days ago to 3,000. Unbelievable. And how do you, I mean, what do you do? What do you do with all these people? I mean, some of them were just brand new to the faith. How do you get them trained up? How do you help them grow and mature in the faith? What do you do with all these people? You got 12 apostles and 3,000 people. What do you do? And the Bible tells us. There on your outline, and this is your first time at Good News Together, you got a white sheet with holes punched on the side. It's an outline. It's got scriptures on it and fill-ins, and it'll help you follow along with this morning's lesson. It goes like this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, as you look at that passage, notice what it says. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, think about it, friends. There's only 12 of these guys. 12 apostles, 3,000 people at this point. Guess what? They're not talking to everybody on an individual basis. There's not enough of them to go around. So in some way, shape, or form, they had larger group meetings where these guys are teaching large groups of people. But it says they had fellowship. Now, if you're not familiar, that's kind of a churchy term, but the word fellowship simply means that they had companionship. Okay? Companionship based on a common bond or belief. Now, let's be honest. You can't have companionship with 3,000 people. Physically, it's not possible. Emotionally, it would be devastating. Okay? So how did they have fellowship? It says they broke bread. In other words, they took communion together. They prayed. And they cared for those in need. But how do you do that when you got 3,000 people? Or how do you do that when you got 700 or 650? Well, notice what it says. This is very important. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The temple courts, friends, were huge areas that could fit thousands of people. So it was possible for the entire church to get together in one location and have the apostles teach them about Jesus and about what it meant to walk in the Christian faith. And think of it this way. We're going to put a circle up here. Think of this as them meeting in the temple courts, this big circle. This is when the whole church gets together to hear preaching of the word. It's kind of like what we do on Sunday morning. When everybody gets together and we talk about God's word and we learn from it and we try to grow through that and we also worship him through songs and stuff like that and we pray, it's a large group gathering. But notice what else it said. It goes on to say, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, I don't know about your house, but my house is not fitting 3,000 people. So what do? How did they meet in people's homes and break bread? Yeah, I mean, share meals together. How did they do that? How could they have this companionship or fellowship that the Bible talks to when they're that huge? How is it these people weren't all like anonymous? Like, geez, I don't know half these people. Well, by meeting in their homes, what was happening is they're dividing that big group into a bunch of small groups that met in people's homes. And that's where that connection, that companionship that they had that permeated the church, that's how that happens. That's how you get tight with people when you meet with six or eight or maybe four or maybe ten, but a smaller group within that larger group. Because you know what? You will never know everybody at Good News Gathering. You won't. It's not possible. In fact, studies indicate that the most people that you can know at a church are about 64 by face and by name. So how do we continue to have that family feel when it's growing like it is and who knows where God's taking it next? But you see, if you're in a small group, within that larger group of 6 or 8 people, and you know what? You're caring for each other and you know each other. You're getting into the Word together and you're learning and growing together. And when you're sick, they come and visit you. And when you need somebody to come and like make a meal for you or something like that, or when you're having trouble, you need somebody to pray for you, you got those people that you know who are right there who have already built into your life. And you're like this. And friends, that's what it means to do life together. That's what it means to be in fellowship. And it's a powerful environment for spiritual growth. And that's why here at G&G, when new people come to us, one of the big things that we try to do is we try to encourage people, please get into a group as quickly as you can. Try a group. See if it fits. If it doesn't, check out a different one. That's okay. There's no problem with that. But find a small group of people. Why? Because as you find that small group of people, all right, you will no longer feel like you're anonymous. And when issues come up in your life, there will be people there who will pray for you and help you and support you. And we also know this. If you hang around Good News Gathering very long and you don't get involved in a life group or a task group, a ministry group where you serve with other people and you can recreate those relationships through service, we know this. Those people that don't connect are usually gone in about 6 months. That's reality. You see, the Christian life is simply too hard for any of us to attempt it in isolation. It doesn't work. And here's the thing. We also understand that if we continue to add more and more small groups, as long as we're successful in doing that and getting people in to more and more small groups, one of the things we know is this church could theoretically grow to any size. It could. Because regardless of how big it got, people would still be getting cared for, prayed for, visited when they're sick, encouraged. That's why our goal at Good News Gathering is this. And it's got to be the goal of every person who calls Good News Gathering their church home, is to connect with a small group, a life group or a task group, a smaller group of Christians within my church family for growth, for support, and for accountability. Why is this so important? You think about growth. When do you grow as a Christian? When do you develop those things that Christians refer to as the fruits of the Spirit, like love, patience, kindness? You only develop those in relationship with other people. Where do you get support? Friends, if you're not in connection with another, with a small group of people, it's anybody's guess. Because who knows who you are and who's going to come when you have a problem? Where do you get encouragement? You see, the way we look at it is like this. At Good News Gathering, our primary way of delivering care to each individual is through a life group or a ministry group. Those people who know you well and who will gather around you and help you if something goes wrong and you need someone to talk to. That's the group. You see, if you haven't connected with anybody, you're in the level of care that we call secondary care, which is if available. Now, I know that sounds harsh. Please hear me out on this, friends. But it breaks my heart when people call the church office and they say, whatever the problem is, something went haywire in my life. Can Jeff come out and pray with me? And my secretary says, I'm sorry, he's in court today. No. Not too long ago, somebody called and they said, we need Jeff to come and do a funeral. And my secretary said, I'm sorry, he's the judge today. These people had nobody. Because they came here week after week, month after month, and never once stepped out to connect with another person. And then when they had a need in their life, there was nobody to go to them. You know, friends, when I think about the importance of getting into a group, I think about people like this young woman.
Hello, my name is Carissa, and I'm going to share with you my experience with a life group here at GNG and how it's impacted my life. Since moving to Hillsboro a little over 3 years ago, I've said countless times how I need to find a home church and how I've missed having a church family. I've heard about GNG, but was always afraid to come for fear that I wouldn't be able to connect because there are so many people. In July, I was dealing with personal struggles that led me down a scary path of questioning God, questioning the Bible, and questioning if I even had faith. On a Sunday evening, when I was sure I had hit rock bottom and my faith was gone, I decided I needed to talk to someone about all of the doubt I was feeling. I had never attended GNG before, but I drove here at 7 p.m. and saw a few cars in the parking lot and a door propped open. I walked in and could hear a group meeting, but I didn't want to interrupt. I sat on a couch outside the room for 45 minutes, waiting for someone to exit so I could ask if Jeff was here by chance. However, God had different plans. Before the life group that was meeting ended their study, I heard someone in the group ask if anyone had prayer requests. As I heard the request for prayers, a courage I didn't know I had pushed me to walk into that room full of strangers, tears in my eyes and an honest heart, and ask to pray with them. These people I had never met, complete strangers, listened to the struggles I was having and prayed for me and with me. Several people in that life group offered me their phone numbers that night, offered to meet with me throughout the week, and have been with me since that day on my journey of refinding my faith and rebuilding my relationship with God. The life group that happened to be meeting that Sunday night has become my church family, some of my new closest friends, and they've helped me find my faith again. If you're here today and you're looking for a way to get connected to others at GNG, a community, friends, a church family to celebrate with you when things are going great, to support you and pray for you when they aren't, and to just have fun and fellowship with, please fill out the communication card in your bulletin and state that you are interested in life group, and someone will be in contact to help you get connected. A life group changed my life, and one could change yours too.
Now, what was the result of this combination in the early church of that large group gathering and yet those small group gatherings within that larger group? Notice what it says in Acts 2:47. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Think about that. More people were coming to faith every day. They'd already gone from a 120 to 3,000, and now more people continue to come. And that's not all. The Bible says just two chapters over that within a short period of time, it says, many who heard the message believed, so the number of men, now notice here, they're only counting the men, didn't count women and children, but look at what they'd grown to already. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. This is within weeks of Jesus leaving the earth. In fact, some scholars believe that that church was growing to the point where it got to probably 20 to 30,000 within a very short period of time. Now, growth obviously can bring issues. Issues that can threaten to divide the family. And the early church experienced this, and look what they did. Acts 6 tells us this. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews, and Hellenistic Jews are just Jews who are Greek-speaking. Okay, maybe they were born in a Greek land and they had just come back to Jerusalem for the festival time, or perhaps they had moved back. Back in those days, there was a thought among the Jewish people that you needed to die in your homeland. And so a lot of elderly people would move back toward the end of life. So the Hellenistic Jews, people who weren't from that area and who spoke Greek, complained against the Hebraic Jews. The Hebraic Jews were people who lived in that area, Palestine, and who spoke Hebrew. So you have this difference in kind of, you have this difference in language, and you have this difference in where they're from. And some friction starts to come up between these people because the Hellenistic Jews complained that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, this doesn't make any sense in our culture today, but in that culture, a woman could not inherit. So when her husband died, his property passed not to her, but to their eldest child, and if they did not have a son, it passed to his nearest male relative. Now, if he doesn't like his brother's ex or his brother's widow, she's out. And that's why in the early church, there was so much emphasis placed on making sure that widows within the church family were taken care of, because many of them could end up on the street. And so what happened? It's this issue threatened to divide the unity of the family, and the apostles act quickly. Notice what they did. It says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. In other words, what they're saying is, guys, we don't have time to be involved in the distribution of food. It's important, but that's not our job. Our job is to teach and to preach and to make sure that the gospel continues to spread. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. What they're saying is, you know what, guys, we got to divide this labor up because we can't do it all. We can't be responsible for making sure all these ladies get taken care of. Somebody else has got to take that on. And you know, friends, the same is true for us here. There's a place for every one of you here to serve in the ministry of this church. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. In other words, if you're here, it's because God brought you here, because you have a gift that can be used at this church to serve other people. And what happened when they divided this labor up in these ladies, which is fascinating, when you read the names of the 7 guys that were picked, they were all Hellenistic Jews. In other words, the church said, you know what, we're going to give that job to the folks who thought they were being discriminated against. Just to make sure that it's done right, it's done fair, and everybody trusts each other. And what happened? The Bible says, so the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. In other words, it just kept growing and growing. Now, friends, the second goal I want to talk to you about this morning is that, you know what? Every person who calls Good News Gathering their church home needs to have a goal to serve in some area of ministry and expand my church family. Notice what was going on here. Each time the church just continued to grow. Now, friends, this morning we have some special guests with us here. And we're going to bring them out on the stage now. Because one of the things that we've noticed as we've continued to grow as a church family, our issues are coming up that we as a church family need to address. And just like the early apostles, we're bringing in people who can help us in certain areas where a special level of expertise is needed. And in other areas, we are also raising up within our own church family folks who are taking on ministry tasks that we need here within this family. Now, JD, who is our operations administrator, has kind of been leading the charge on some of these new things that we're getting involved with. And JD, you want to just talk about that for just a moment, please?
Yeah, so one of the things that Dad's mentioned several times throughout the course of the lesson already is just that gap between what we have available resource-wise and the need. Because, you know, I'm a trained mental health counselor, and it would be great to provide such services for the people here at GNG who need them. But I have other responsibilities and meetings and time, and there's just not simply my availability. As much as I would love to do it, I can't do it. Same with some of the other needs that we have seen, and we get phone calls from people who are in need of services, in need of help, in need of a visit, or somebody to stop by and talk to them and hang out with them, or things of that nature. We just didn't have the time to do what we would love to do otherwise. And so there was this big gap between what life groups do and what you could get here at GNG if you weren't a part of a life group, which was basically a lot and nothing. And so what we determined, you know, through some courses of conversation and, you know, through my own background as a counselor and through some of the other people here that have just had great ideas about potential ministries, to say, how can we make care more available to more people on a weekly basis here at GNG?
One of the situations that really brought this to the forefront for us is we had a lady who moved into Hillsboro from out of state, and she had only been coming to Good News for like 3 weeks, and she ended up in a nursing home. And she called the church office and said, could somebody come out and pray with me? Well, she hadn't been here long enough to actually really know what we're all about and how we operate, or hadn't been here long enough to get into a life group. And so I went to the nursing home after I got out of court that day. But it was one of those things where I was thinking, okay, there are people who are new to us who don't really understand everything that's going on here yet, or they just haven't been able to be here long enough to get in a group. And how do we care for those folks? Now, we also have recognized a definite need, because the number of prayer requests that we're getting has just increased. And some of you pick up the prayer lists every Sunday, and God bless you for that. And in fact, last Sunday morning, I had somebody come up to me after the service, and this is somebody that has been heavily involved in ministry in the past, but because of an illness within his family, he's taking care on a 24/7 basis of somebody. And he said, how do I stay involved? Because now I'm in a position where I have to be with this person all the time. And I said, just pick that prayer list up and pray. That you can do in your home, but you can still stay in the game and help your church family. Now, one of the things that we noticed was a need for counseling service. You want to talk about that for just a second?
Yeah, so frequently as a part of my job, I end up getting phone calls from some of you folks who are asking for different things like counseling. You know, hey, I've got this issue going on in my family, or hey, my marriage is struggling, and people call and will ask for those services, and we've tried to do a good job of referring, but the simple fact of the matter is we didn't have the ability to provide it in the way that we wanted to previously.
Okay. Now, this morning, what I want to do is I want to introduce a couple of folks to you. First of all, Jody Edwards and Stephanie Shell, and they're with an organization called ThrivePoint. And just give us a little bit of background on you guys, and tell us a little bit about yourselves and about your organization.
ThrivePoint is a counseling practice that Stephanie and I have just recently started in June. Before that, we were doing a counseling ministry out of Centerpoint Christian Church in Liberty Township, and we've been doing that for the last 7 years. Like GNG, Centerpoint found that when people were struggling, they wanted to be able to meet the need, and so for 20 years actually there, they've been offering counseling. And so being able to take what we have kind of perfected there over the years and then be able to reach out to other churches who were feeling that same burden and help them to establish a counseling presence in the church where people felt safe coming is something that's a passion for both Stephanie and I. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit and then I'll...
Yeah, my name is Stephanie Schell, and I'm a counselor, and I've been working with Jody for the past 7 years now at Centerpoint. I work with a lot of adults and teenagers, and I do a lot of couples therapy as well.
So a little bit about our background. I, in addition to helping run ThrivePoint, I'm a professor at Cincinnati Christian University. And so for the last 10 years, I've taught in their graduate counseling program, and that's how I met JD. He was one of my students when I first started. If you come up to me afterwards, I could tell you some stories of his misdeeds. No, he was a very good student, actually.
Literally, when she came on board, her first semester was the first semester of my final year there, and we followed one another around campus because I had almost every class that she taught that first semester, so it was a lot of fun.
I do a lot better job now. But Stephanie was one of my students as well, so we've known each other quite a long time. I have a master's degree from CCU and then left there and got a doctorate in counseling psychology at Purdue University and then came back to CCU to teach because helping people develop those Christian-focused counseling skills is something that's always been really important to me.
We're willing to forgive Purdue for not beating Michigan yesterday.
We call it Purdon't here.
Now, tell us a little bit about what it was that got you interested in the counseling field.
I think for a lot of counselors, there's something about our story that kind of compels us to be interested to help people along their journey of healing. And I know that's definitely the case for me and my background. When I was in the program, I lost my brother, and that was definitely a really difficult time for me to go through. But it was also an opportunity to understand myself, my emotions, and the way that all of those things impacted relationships in a deeper way. And it's been, I think, you know, you pull whatever good you can out of those experiences, and it's really helped me to kind of hold on to that mission of wanting to be a safe place for other people in the midst of their pain. And to help them take the next step in their journey.
I got into counseling in a little bit of a non-traditional way. I grew up in the church, and I grew up going to church camp every summer. And when I was in ninth grade, they started offering wilderness adventures. And so I would, every summer, go on these backpacking, canoeing, kayaking, or rock climbing type of trips. And what I loved the most about it was when you spent a week with a small group of 10, 12 people, you started really being able to encourage each other and then challenge each other. And so I saw, like, in a week, even, like, as a teenager, how much you could change because of these really intimate, kind of vulnerable relationships. And I just remember saying to myself, like, I want to turn that into a job. Like, what job is that? So I got trained in adventure-based counseling early on, and then I don't do that so much anymore, but then really kind of morphed over to doing more traditional counseling. And like Stephanie, I mean, I had been in the field for 5 years or so and then had a major loss as well. I had a child who died. And so then I had the opportunity to sit on the other side of the counseling chair, and I'm really thankful for that part of that experience because then that really helped me to know what I want to be able to offer other people. And, you know, an effective experience, but also that warm, caring relationship.
Okay. Now, we have entered into a partnership with ThrivePoint, Good News Gathering has. And Jay, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So one of the things that we have chosen to do is because of the challenges of managing a counseling ministry within the church, and these guys can speak to that because they did a counseling ministry in a church for a number of years, and Centerpoint, the church that they attend, came to them and said, will you take this out because of some of the challenges with insurance and, you know, confidentiality, compliance, and all of that, it became a lot for the church. And we are in much the same boat. But they have a counseling business, and we have agreed to partner with them moving forward in a way where they're going to place two counselors here on site during the week to provide services to anybody here at GNG who is willing to kind of step forward and take advantage of those services. So if you guys would just kind of tell us a little bit about what our people can expect from you guys here on site at GNG.
Well, we have a lot of really great therapists, the kind of people that are easy to connect with, but also care a lot about doing a great job and helping you get where you want to go. There are so many different things that we do with those services. We work with children and teens and adults. We help couples and families and a lot of different types of issues, whether it's just kind of a difficult transition in life, anxiety, depression, OCD, panic. There's weight loss. There's a lot of different things that we're able to help with because we have such a diverse group of people.
Now, one of the things that you guys have done is you've hired two counselors for here at GNG. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've brought on Lauren Allen and Nikki Elliott, who are members here with GNG. And you guys have some amazing talent here in a lot of areas. And so we're very excited to have them. And they will both be here starting out on a part-time basis, and we'll see how the need builds. One of the great things that GNG is willing to do is to take counseling, use it to minister to all of you who attend church here, but they're also opening the doors for people in the community to receive counseling here. And I think that's very commendable. I think it's a part of the church's mission, and I know these guys agree to let the church be a safe place for people when they're struggling and they need help the most.
Yeah, guys, one of the things that many of you guys know about us is that our mission is to develop seekers into fully functioning followers of Christ. And so we see this as a service we can provide in the community, Christian-based counseling for people with real needs in real tough situations who can come into a safe environment right here at GNG and receive the kind of services that that are world class, because I was trained by these guys. I know exactly the kinds of services they're going to provide, but also be an outreach into the community for people who are hurting, whether they come to GNG or not. And one of the cool things about that, and I would encourage you guys, we have a table out in the atrium for Thrive Point today, and these guys will be out there as well as Lauren and Nikki, and you can stop by and kind of talk with them and meet them and everything. But I would encourage you. We got some business cards out there. Maybe you're not a person who is in need of help right now. Maybe you're a person who is you know, life's going pretty good, but you know someone for whom it isn't. In your bulletin today is a postcard with all of the Thrive Point information if you want to take a look at that. And then out at that atrium table are business cards. And you can hand those out to anybody who you know needs some help or is going through a difficult time. Now, let's get into specifics here for just a second. How will our people actually access the services?
What we would encourage people to do is to give us a call. Our care coordinator, Anne, who answers the phone, is an expert at helping you to think about what the next best step is for you. And so she can talk with you about the different options. She'll know Lauren and Nikki's areas of expertise and make sure that they could meet your needs. You're also welcome to visit our website, which is listed there in the materials. And soon we'll have Nikki and Lauren's schedule available online so that people could even book sessions online. You'd also be able to email. So really, there's a lot of different ways you could connect. And we would just encourage you not to wait. A lot of the times as counselors, we're seeing people when they're really feeling pretty desperate for a solution. And, you know, we welcome you even when you're at that point. But we would also encourage people to take action early and check in with us, even if you're not sure if counseling would be helpful, because we can help you make that determination.
So one of the cool things about you guys and one of the things that made it such an attractive partnership opportunity was that we are able, through you guys and through the counselors you've hired, to provide services right here on site. But obviously, the fact that two of those counselors are part of GNG could, in fact, make it a little difficult or make it a bit of a barrier. If I'm a friend of Lauren and Nikki, I may not want to go see them for counseling services. But you guys have a whole team available and some other options available for people who maybe don't want to have services right here at church or don't necessarily want to work with the counselors that are right here at church. So talk to us about what those options are.
Sure. Again, check out our website because you'll be able to look at the profiles for all the therapists and find somebody who would best meet your needs. If that ends up being somebody who is working with us in the Cincinnati area, there's a couple of options. We do have some people who make drives from all over to visit with us because they trust us. So that's always an option. Also, we have the ability to offer sessions through audio and video. So you could be at home, you could be at the office with the door shut. So you could come down, do a session with somebody, get to know them, and then do your remaining sessions through technology.
Now, one of the things that we want you guys to understand about this partnership is that GNG has, in fact, set aside an amount of money. The leadership team has made the decision to actually fund this project in such a way that we've set up a sliding fee scale and an affordable therapy program. Why don't you guys talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, this is one of the things that's been really important to Jody and I since we've been doing counseling ministry for so many years, is that the church has come alongside people to help support them and make it easier to access really good counseling services. So it's really great to have GNG step up to do that. GNG, along with a few of the other churches that we're working with right now, over the course of 6 months, we took a look at that, and all of those churches combined are investing $25,000 in helping people access counseling services. So based on that sliding fee scale, there's a certain amount that the church is able to pay to help reduce the cost of counseling. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
So one of the things that will happen when you guys, if you choose to seek services, when you call, they'll be able to help you determine whether or not you're eligible for receiving some of those funds to help offset the cost of the counseling as well. So we're not getting into the specifics at this point, but there is help available through GNG and ThrivePoint. They'll provide the services. We provide some assistance for those who qualify, and we're just really grateful to be able to offer this opportunity to you guys, especially when I'm the one who ends up typically getting the phone calls, and there's several a month that come in from folks who are asking for help. As of today, starting this week, sessions will be available, and you can get the help you need here at GNG.
And friends, one of the reasons that this has really been something that's been heavy on my heart personally, is because we do get these calls, but it's also because I myself have needed the help. Many of you that know me well know that it's been a battle for me with workaholism. Work is my addiction, and some of you know that I've struggled with it for a long time, and it's difficult for my family and difficult at time for relationships. And I went back into counseling last November and have been in since. My next appointment is Tuesday. The only reason I'm telling you this, friends, is to get good Christian counseling is something that many of us need at different times in our lives and for whatever reason. And I want you to understand that this is the kind of church where it's okay. It's okay to need it. It's okay to get it. And if you need it, please get it. That's why we want to make it available for you. So please, look at that card in your packet of information and or stop by their table out in the atrium. Now, another team that we're in the process of getting going and is something we're calling the prayer team. And Dot Watson is here this morning to talk to us about that. And Dot, how long have you attended Good News Gathering?
I've been coming about 3 years.
And you're involved in a life group?
Yes, Sharon Setti's life group. It's an awesome group of ladies.
And I was talking with Dot earlier. They sent me a really difficult question this week, a biblical question, and we've kind of gone back and forth about that. But you also serve in ministry outside Good News. You serve with Southern Ohio Pregnancy Center.
Yes, I volunteer there.
And you also serve in a ministry here.
Serve as a greeter.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about the prayer team.
Several people were asked to come together for different venues to care for the G&G family, which is growing and which has incurred, of course, more prayer requests. And we want to make sure those prayer requests are addressed and that the group of people believe in answers from God and that we will serve you by praying each week for those. They come out on a list each week, and we will use that as our guidelines for prayer. Once in a while, you may have a confidential one that will be handed to us, and again, that will be confidential. It will not be put forth anywhere else. We will keep it private, so you don't have to worry about that.
And as far as somebody turning in a prayer request, you will not contact them unless they request personal contact.
Yes, it'll be private. We won't bother you. We won't come up and address you or ask you any questions, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, and that team's up and running.
We're meeting today.
Okay. Another person that I want to introduce you to is Randy Butler. And Randy, how long have you been coming to Good News?
Jeff, I've been coming here about 19 and a half years. The church was like 6 months old when we started.
Wow. I can't remember Good News without you. now, over the years, you've been involved in a lot of different ministries. Talk to us about that.
For several years, I was when I was out to college, I did junior high. I was the youth leader there, and then it went on to senior high. I guess as my kids got older, I kind of graduated up with them. And we also did a ministry called The Loft that was in Hillsboro for probably 10 years or so, and I also did a jail ministry visitation for a while too.
Okay. Now, talk to us a little bit about the visit team.
The visit team is kind of designed for like the lady you were talking about earlier that came to church and had no connection. She was here two or three times. She had nobody to look out for. She wanted somebody to come and pray for it called and got Jeff. And it just kind of worked out that time. But a lot of times it's not going to. The visitation team is to help those people that have no connection, whether in the hospital, the nursing home, some kind of loss, a tragedy. Not that we're counselors, we're not that. That's on the other end. But our job is just to kind of go and make a visit and show them that we care and try to get them plugged into a life group, a ministry, or something here at G&G.
Okay. Now, when we talk about people who haven't been here for very long, it's up to them to contact. Is that correct?
Correct. They have to make the response. We talked about this when we were setting it up. You know, it can't be one of those things, hey, but my neighbor down the street, he needs help. Go see him. It's not that kind of thing. The person kind of has to initiate the contact to us. And there's several different ways they can email the church, a communication card, a phone call. We're still kind of setting up how that's going to work, but there's several different options there to contact part of the team, and we'll get that in progress.
Okay. Now this is a one-time visit, and part of the goal during that visit is to kind of inform them about how we operate and how important it is to connect sure. with a group sure. of some sort.
I thought that was a really good illustration that the circle, we want to keep everybody in that circle. Nobody can leave the circle. But yeah, it's just a one-time visit and kind of explain how G&G works and the philosophy behind it that, you know, everyone needs to be plugged in somewhere.
Okay. Now, you kind of touched on this, but this is not a substitute for people who call G&G their church home to get you to go out and we don't want people calling up and saying, well, my brother needs somebody to come and talk to him about Jesus.
Right, right. Yeah, we're not there to take place of another share group that's out there, or small group, rather. We're not there to take place of a family visit or anything like that. We're just there to kind of, you know, just to show that we care and to guide them towards some type of ministry or group here.
Friends, this is really critical. You see, as I said, this is not for people to call up and say, my friend or my neighbor needs a visit. Because here's what you have to understand, all right? And this is really important, friends. If you see a need, God has placed it on you. If you see a friend or a neighbor or a family member who needs somebody to visit, God is calling you to do that. If you have somebody in your life that needs somebody to talk to them about Jesus, that somebody is you. And it's very important. That's how the early church grew. Because everybody who was a part of that church understood that they had people in their life that they could influence for Jesus Christ. And each of you have that same thing. And so it's okay for you to call and say, Jeff, I've got this friend that needs somebody to talk to him about Jesus. Can you tell me how to do that? The answer will be yes. But if you call and say, can you send Randy to do that? The answer will be no. God's called you because he's put it on your heart. You might want to write this in the margin of your outline. To see the need is to answer the call. Let me repeat that. To see the need is to answer the call. If you see the need, God's placed the call on your heart to make that contact, to make that visit, to go to the hospital. He's called you.
One thing I wanted to add to that this morning, just by way of communication, is each of you got a communication card in your packet of information. If you would grab that out and turn it over. On the back, we've made a slight adjustment to the way the card works. About halfway down on the card, it says, I would like assistance from one of the care ministries. And one of the ways that you can contact us and let us know that you are in need of or interested in some care from one of those ministries is to check one of those boxes there and then to kind of tell us in the comments below. If you check prayer, then write your prayer request below. If you need a visit, then just make sure we have your contact information on there. If you want some information about counseling, because obviously we have it handed out to you today and there's a table out in the atrium, but if for some reason you get a few days, few weeks away from it and you need some help from the counselors, we can get you in contact with that information by checking that box at the church office. So we're trying to provide lots of ways where you can communicate with us to let us know that you're in need of some of these services and we can get you plugged in. So utilize that communication card, call us or email us at the church office. Just whatever you do, if you need help from any of these ministries, make sure that we know.
All right. Friends, as we close this morning, on that second sheet on the back side of your outline, there's a box that says my next step this week. And I hope you'll take some time today to look at that box and to ask yourself, what's God calling me to do at this point in time? Maybe it's to get in the life group, the life group that's church-wide life group study that's coming up in October on the Book of Acts, or the fall cycle, of the class series. Maybe you're new to Good News and you don't really understand how it all works, and you just want to know, what do you guys believe and why do you do church the way you do? Class 101 is coming up in 2 weeks. So friends, I hope that you'll look those things over, that you'll check whatever box applies to you, and that we'll move forward as a church that's healthy and growing and reaching people for Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and for this opportunity that we've had this morning to come together as a church family, to meet just like they did in the early church, as a large group. Father, it's also our hope and prayer that each person here is seriously considering getting into a life group or a task group, a group of people that they can grow and they can care for and they can find encouragement from. Father, help us to be the kind of church that no matter what size you grow us to, that we will always have that closeness and that family feel. Father, help us never to lose that. And help us always to keep our eyes outward, looking for others that we can add to your family. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. And we all agreed together and said, Amen.